Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is Joseph Kerr. Joseph was on our show 2 years ago on June 12, 2014, talking about gambling on cruise ships. Today he's talking to us about becoming an AP with respect to credit cards. One note of caution, I know a lot of our listeners download the show and listen to it while driving. This is a show where you will need to take notes in order to get the most out of it. So, if you're driving now, perhaps you should listen to another episode and pick up this one when you can write stuff down. Joseph Kerr, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
Now, it's been a few weeks since we had a live show, and a lot has happened in the gambling world that's worth talking about. First, there's Billy Walters, who's been accused of insider trading in Dean Foods. Billy is one of the most successful sports bettors of all time and has been indicted several times in the past for what the feds perceive as illegal betting activity. So far, he's beaten these rats. This time, who knows? What do you think, Richard?
You know, it seems very odd to me, you know, for a guy who is very professional and is very aware that the authorities have been after him for decades. The whole thing just seems very odd that if it's true that he would be that sort of sloppy, you know. So that part of it I find, as I say, kind of out of character. I mean, I don't know him that well. But the other thing that sort of frosts me is I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe this, that kind of stuff goes on every single day, day in and day out on Wall Street. And with, you know, the collapse that happened in 07, 08, where, you know, basically nobody went to jail, one guy, again, for insider trading, and yet the guy they go after, right, is the notorious gambler. So, I don't know. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, Phil Mickelson apparently got caught up with it, and they basically said, if you pay $1 million back, we won't prosecute you. And Phil said yes.
Yeah, so, right. This does look bad. I mean, at least that's the way the accounts I'm reading of it look bad. I mean, he could do jail time, I think.
Let's go on to something else. The MGM Grand is starting to charge for parking at all of their Las Vegas properties starting tomorrow, June 1st. Players with Nevada ID get this waived for the next 7 months, as do certain players. Richard, what is your prediction? Oh, well, I'm going to ask Joseph first. What is your prediction about whether this parking tax is here to stay or whether it'll be eliminated because it's too unpopular?
I mean, it's not going to be popular by any means, but I have a feeling it's going to end up being just like resort fees were. The other properties are going to watch to see that people grudgingly pay it, and I think 2 years from today, you'll see it's the norm on the Strip. And then you'll have your smaller independent properties like Trop, maybe TI, will advertise free parking, but I think it's going to become the norm. And I think those smaller properties will use it to their advantage, like Gold Nugget has in Atlantic City. They advertise being the only place with free parking, and their numbers have certainly increased given Atlantic City's, you know, recent issues. I think it'll help, you know, ride-sharing property or companies for sure. I mean, Uber will definitely benefit from it. I mean, people, you know, the airlines have shown that the a la carte business model works for these type of things. People grudgingly pay these things and just get used to it.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, once it's there, I think it's really hard to get them to take it away. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, remember Caesars with the, you know, we'll never have a resort fee until they started adding resort fees, right? They saw how much money was involved, and now, you know, Caesars not only has resort fees, but they have early check-in fees and, you know, other fees that late checkout, early check-in, you know. So, yeah, I agree. 100%. The smaller places will take some shots, and if it works, they'll be free. But if it doesn't, they'll be charging too. But, oh, and the other thing about the ride-sharing companies, man, boy, I wish Uber and Lyft were publicly traded so I could buy stock in those companies.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, especially if there was a Las Vegas Uber that you could buy stock in rather than some cities aren't going so well. But what about drive-in traffic? A significant part of the Vegas tourist market drives in from California or other Arizona, Utah, not a whole lot from Utah. But will this affect that significantly?
You know, when I lived in California, I drove because it took about the same amount of time to drive as it did to go to the airport. You know, depending on how much the parking fees were, you know, it might affect my decision whether to drive or fly. Yeah,
or
I don't know.
Or come at all. All right.
Or even come at all. Yeah.
There's lots of speculation that the Oakland Raiders may be moving to Las Vegas. Locally, most of the town is in favor of it, largely because they've been sold the idea that the stadium fee will be generated by a higher room rate, which is paid by tourists. Still, with lots of other gambling locations out there, a higher room tax will probably mean fewer visitors, assuming the law of supply and demand works in the desert. An interesting prospect to watch unfold. I'm guessing they will be here within 5 years. I don't know. Richard?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, it's hard to, you know, I don't really have a dog in the fight, but yeah, I think they'll end up here. I think we may end up with a basketball team eventually too.
Huh. A couple of years ago, the All-Star basketball game did not go well in the city. So who knows how that's going to work out. All right, let's talk to Joseph Kerr. You picked up the AP credit card game after you last appeared on our show. How did you get started?
Well, back in late 2014, my girlfriend and I, after a few months of looking into it, decided to join this program called JetSmarter, which is an app that offers empty legs for free to their members. An empty leg is a repositioning flight for a private jet flying one place to another. It typically last minute, and since there's nobody flying on it other than the pilots, they give these away to their members for free. So it's a great way to, you know, fly to places you otherwise wouldn't fly at the last minute and make some great vacations while flying on a private jet. And once we got to these places, we quickly realized, you know, wow, hotel rooms can be very expensive last minute, not to mention the airfare to get home. So we were trying to think of ways to make these prices much more reasonable. So we started looking into points, and I quickly found the points guy and started reading some of his posts and following some other travel bloggers on Twitter, and quickly started signing up for some of these credit cards that had, you know, great bonus offers, and looking into which points I could utilize for these travels. And it basically went on from there.
Right. So this JetSmarter, how much do you have to pay? You get to ride free on these jets if it's an empty leg. And how much do you have to pay for this?
Well, I know starting June 1st, I believe their new rate goes up to $10,000 a year with a $5,000 initiation fee. I joined back when it was still fairly new, so I'm grandfathered in a much lower rate, fortunately. But since I've been a member, they've added many things, including shuttles between large cities here in the U.S. and in Europe, which are free to their members. So it's a great service for somebody who travels a lot between big cities.
Yeah, and you get to ride on private jets to do it. I mean, that just sounds like, you know, party like a rock star.
Oh, it's great. You know, no TSA. There are no, you know, carry-on rules or, you know, take out your laptop. Or
so zero TSA at all. You just drive up and get on the plane?
Exactly. And there's times where, you know, we'll, if you call ahead, if you have a rental car, like they'll pull the rental car up to the jet when you walk off. I mean, it really is like the lifestyle of a rock star, like you said. It's pretty incredible.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds great.
So if I make a reservation from Vegas to Phoenix, and but 5 minutes before takeoff, I'm not there, does that kick me out of the program? Or
no, they do have a $1,000 no-show fee, and that's basically to keep it fair so people aren't just booking every jet left and right and just no-showing. But generally, if it's like a legitimate reason, I was talking to another member who said he had a death in the family last minute, I mean, they'll work with you on that. But if you make it a habit to just no-show, I mean, they're going to ding you, appropriately so.
Okay, so I don't see how even for $10,000, they can allow me to ride shuttles between all these different cities whenever I want for free. It would seem like really frequent travelers would use up that $10,000 rather quickly, given the fare on private jets is pretty steep to begin with.
Yeah, and I've been trying to figure that out myself. I know recently a similar company called BlackJet, which was trying to do just that, went under. However, I feel a lot of the members of JetSmarter also charter as well, or just utilize the empty legs. So I'd say only a fraction of the members are actually using these shuttles. So I guess, you know, you pull in the membership fees from all of them, it helps balance it out.
Huh.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the members must charter flights that where they would make more of their money, I guess.
Yeah, and plus they do have, you know, if you want to add a guest on, if say you have a guest who's not a member, you can pay for an extra seat for them, which, you know, it's considerable to the price of a, I'm sorry, comparable to the price of a first-class ticket, and that's basically money in their pockets. So small fees like that add up just like for regular airlines, I suppose.
And do you get peanuts and pretzels?
At the very least, yeah. On the empty legs, generally there's, you know, a lot of snacks, and you have, you know, you can help yourself to many of the beverages. And on the shuttles, they generally have a flight attendant who, depending on the, you know, length of the flight, will have a full, like a, you know, full meal service and cocktails and all that. Even, you know, at landing and you know, departure, they have a little lounge. Like usually they're passing champagne, things like that. And another cool thing that makes it even better, Richard, you'll be interested in this, is if you do a shuttle or any empty leg in or out of Chicago or New York, they have helicopter service to transfer from the airport to downtown.
That's very cool.
Yeah, we took an empty leg. Oh, go ahead, Bob.
I was just wondering, could he get the helicopter from the airport to Atlantic City? Can that be arranged? No, probably
not. I mean, if you're willing to pay, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm sure that's where they really make their money, is those kind of things.
Yeah, I know, like, during the summer, they offer helicopters from New York City to the Hamptons, and also, like, from the heliports to the surrounding private airports.
All right, good. Let's move on. Credit cards is a subject we've talked to before on this show with Jimmy Jazz. Now, I told him you were coming on this week, and so he sent in two questions to ask you. The first is about Chase credit cards. Apparently, there's some policy if you sign up for 5 new cards over the last 2 years or something like that, they won't give you any more. Has this been a problem for you?
I've been pretty lucky with Chase. However, I did sign up for most of my Chase cards early on in the game. I did initially get denied for my Ink card. However, I called them after my denial letter asking the reason, and after talking for 5 minutes with the guy, he basically, it sounded like, clicked through a couple of screens and said he's able to approve me for X amount of credit, and that was it. So I feel like the 524 rule isn't enforced heavily yet, but I've heard rumors that going forward, they might be a little more strict with it.
By the way, that brings up a good point, because I'm told that you don't have to take no for an answer. If you call in and apply for a card and the guy denies you, you can just call back the next day and get a different operator and you might get the card. And another possibility is to actually walk into a branch and apply in person in a branch. And sometimes that is a better way to do it. Have you tried any second attempts for places where you've been denied?
Actually, that brings up a good point as well. I received a targeted offer in the mail from Chase where if I signed up for checking and savings through them, and actually this is when I applied for my Sapphire. Basically, I did all three. It was deposit, I think, $10,000 into savings for 6 months, and you get $500. I forget the exact terms, but long story short, I did all of this at once in branch. So I think that really helped my chances of, being approved as well, since I then had checking and savings with them. And later on, I think that may have helped my chances when I eventually got approved for the Ink card.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, anybody who has $10,000 in a savings account where they pay nothing, right? I mean,
right.
They have to like that customer.
Absolutely. And again, I think that's why they're doing some of these targeted offers where open an account and keep the money in there and they give you, $500 after 5-6 months. Just because interest rates are so low, why else would you even bother?
Well, $500.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good deal without the card.
No.
Right?
10%. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah, and that's exactly why I did it. And applying for the Chase Sapphire was an afterthought when the lady at the bank actually mentioned it. So I'd heard of the card and just for whatever reason put off applying for it, and this seemed like the perfect opportunity, so I jumped on it. On top of the savings and checking offer.
Okay. There's another question from Jimmy Jazz. And he saw a business credit card that he thought was good, but he's not a small business owner or a big business owner for that matter. Do you have any suggestion on how to get around this restriction?
I know it varies by bank, but generally, you can use your Social Security number in place of an EIN when applying for a business credit card. And almost every bank, with the exception of Citi and possibly a couple others, will approve you just based on that, and as long as your credit history is good. So I would say try that route first if you don't have an EIN.
Yeah, and I would say the opposite is true, too. If you do have a small business, you can get the same card twice by getting it once under your Social Security number and the other time under your EIN. And EINs are easy to get. I don't know if you can get one with just having a DBA, which is cheap.
I know at least in Florida, because I had a DBA a few years ago, and I was able to get a sole proprietor EIN very easily on the IRS website in just a matter of minutes.
Right.
And there was that was just a basic Schedule C filing, nothing more than that. So, I would think anybody could have an EIN.
Now let's talk about, you were talking about targeted offers. So I just got an offer in the mail for an American Express, some kind of American Express card, where they're going to give me 100,000 points. Now, I haven't looked at what 100,000 points will get me yet, but but I have to spend $10,000 in 3 months. Oh, and I also get a $200 airline fee credit.
Most likely American Express Platinum card.
Yes, it's a Platinum card, yep. And so if I apply for this card, now the question is $10,000 in 3 months. So how do I go get all that extra money ginned up on my card during 3 months?
I mean, there's a few ways. I prefer to take a balanced approach.
So.
Well,
there's that. A lot of cash advances, perhaps, you know, down on the strip. But no, I prefer to take a, you know, 'cause I know some people, when it comes to manufactured spending, which is the method that you'd want to use here, there's the, you know, nitty gritty way, which I know you mentioned on a previous show, the guy who got 86 by Chase after what, spending $1 million on his card in 2 or 3 months.
He had
an unemployed student or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was a college student. He had churned $1.2 million in 2 or 3 months.
Because I assume that we have, you and I, Richard, have similar objectives with our, you know, we want to take minimal time but still get good value. So what I would recommend, one service, in, for example, is plastic.com. That's with a Q, P-L-A-S-T-I-Q. It actually allows you to pay mortgage payments, insurance, things like that, with a credit card. Simply the way it works is you pay them with a credit card. They charge, I think, a 2.5% fee, and then just cut a check to the company you're paying. That's, you know, a little stiff on a price, but for a sign-up bonus, especially at like 100,000 points through Amex, definitely worth it, and like very simple to do. And you could even set, you know, reoccurring payments if you wanted to pay your mortgage every month and, you know, health insurance, anything like that.
Wow. That's, that's pretty good. Now, do you happen to know what 100,000 American Express Platinum points are worth?
I mean, there's so many different ways to use them. It's worth at least $1,000 at the very least, assuming you went the easy way and just got gift cards from the American Express website. However, you can transfer those to so many different airlines. Like I can look at the points guy. He generally every month releases a valuation of like how much he thinks each currency is worth. But I would say they're worth at least 1-1.5 cents each. So you're looking at $1,000 to $1,500 value in a sign-up bonus alone. Not to mention that you're going to earn, you know, 10,000 additional miles just on that, you know, earning 1 point per dollar spent.
Right, right.
And, you know, additionally, like the American Express Platinum has great perks that make it worth, you know, to people, somebody who travels a lot, the $450 annual fee.
What kind of perks are worth paying $450 a year for?
Well, like the $200 airline credit, which generally is supposed to be used for, you know, checked bags, things like that. However, I know some airlines, I can't speak for all, but I'm generally an American Airlines flyer. You can just go online and buy $200 worth of American Airlines gift cards, and you'll get credited back there. Assuming you're going to use it anyway, that, you know, effectively reduces the annual fee to $250, and it gives you gold status with Starwood Hotels, gold with Hilton, I believe. You get the lounge access, like the Centurion Lounge, which they have in Las Vegas. I think Priority Pass, which is lounge access at 700 lounges around the country, and a few other random perks that I can't think of off the top of my head.
So American Express has a website where I could go buy gift cards and charge them on this card at no markup?
No, I'm sorry. No, you can use your points to purchase gift cards for, say, like, you know, restaurants and things like that using your points. However, that's generally like not the best value of using your points.
Okay, but I thought there was a place where I could buy gift cards as a way of manufacturing spend.
Yeah, you can buy American Express gift cards one way, or one way method of doing it. This has a couple steps, but it's relatively easy, and I use it quite a bit, is to start out by going through Top Cashback, which is a shopping portal that gives you cash back on purchases at certain websites. So you'd go to Top Cashback, sign up for an account, And then from there, you would click the link to go to Gift Card Mall. Once you're at Gift Card Mall, you can then purchase $500 visas for a fee of $5.95. However, that's offset partially by the, I think, 0.5% cash back you get from Top Cash Back, making a $500 purchase cost you about $2.50, give or take. And then with that gift card, you can, you know, liquidate it various ways.
Well, that's a Visa gift card, so it's really the same as cash anyway, right? So.
Yeah, and you can use gift cards to purchase money orders, since it runs as a debit card at many places.
Do you use a shopping portal? And basically, what is a shopping portal?
Basically, a shopping portal is, like I was saying, it's a website that's linking you to different merchants to shop. Like, I use British Airways the most because that's the miles I find most valuable for me. So, for example, I would go to the British Airways shopping portal, which I have in front of me. It has different sites that eBay, Target, Walmart, Staples, Best Buy, places I would shop anyway. Now, if I click the link on there, it then takes me to the website of, say, Target, and I could shop normally. However, since, you know, when I purchase those items, the website's going to receive a kickback for referring me, and in turn, the website gives me a portion of that in points. So it's an easy way to earn points on things you're going to buy anyway.
Now, you mentioned you use British Airways, but do you end up using British Airways, or do you end up using their points on some other airline?
Oh, I've never actually flown on British Airways. However, they're a partner of American Airlines, and for short-haul flights, generally British Airways Avios are much more valuable than using actual American Airlines miles. And another benefit is that British Airways is a transfer partner of Chase Ultimate Rewards.
Uh-huh. So you can take the Chase points, convert them to the British Airways points, and then use them on American.
Precisely.
Wow.
And why would it be better to use British Airways points on American than American points on American?
A few reasons. First reason is the fact that none of the Chase points don't convert to American miles directly. The only one that I'm aware of that converts to American would be SPG points, which I'll get into later. But the second reason is that American is zone-based, meaning if you were to fly anywhere in the United States, regardless if it's, you know, next door or across the country, you're paying a set amount of miles. With Avios, it's all distance-based. So anything under, I believe, 1,000, it's a little over 1,000 miles, ends up being 7,500 AVOs instead of the 12,500 minimum on American. And also with AVOs, they don't charge the 21-day closing fee like American would, which I believe is $75. So those are a couple of reasons.
Yeah, a couple of good reasons. Now, you've been talking about transfer partners and airline partners and allegiances. These work together somehow. How do you find out about all this? Which websites tell you are the best for telling you who works with whom, or do you have to reinvent the wheel yourself?
I would say a good start is the points guy. He has a website, and also he has a Twitter feed, and I believe he just started a YouTube show recently. He has some great information, especially for beginners. You don't really have to invent the wheel so much that you just have to realize or figure out, you know, based on where you live and what your objective is, which points work best for you. Because if you live in Atlanta, for example, it wouldn't make any sense to stock up on Avios since Atlanta is a major Delta and Southwest hub and has very few American flights. However, living near Miami, for me, it's a no-brainer to stock up on Avios.
Yeah, it seems like you really have to investigate, your home airport and where you're going to, which airline you're going to be using the most. You know, we also had Cartwright. I've been sitting here trying to think of what name he was using when he was on. But he was on a couple of times also talking about this subject. And he mentioned he thought the best thing was to figure out where you want to go and then you can figure out which are going to be the best cards to use. You know, say you wanted to plan a specific kind of fabulous vacation. In his case, he had like a $60,000 honeymoon that took him to Asia and stuff.
Yeah,
so yeah, it seems like planning that, knowing where you're going to go first is a good idea.
No, absolutely. And that was because I have a lot of American Airlines miles banked up, and my girlfriend and I basically said we wanted to save those for, you know, one day down the road. You know, we can basically fly around the world for our honeymoon, and we've kind of have enough saved up for that. So now using these Avios for like short flights in the Caribbean, especially last minute, that has been very, you know, helpful for me. And then with some of these hotel cards, you know, having a place to stay when we get there. But yeah, having a plan is definitely, like, I would say step one before you get into it. I found that out the hard way.
Now, what about hotel cards? Which of those do you like?
My personal favorite is the Starwood Preferred Card by American Express. Reason for that being is Star points themselves are usually worth about 2.5 cents each, but I've gotten as much as 4 to 5 cents value out of them. And another big benefit is that they're very versatile. They transfer to over 30 different airlines. And generally, like for example, if you were to transfer 20,000 SPG points to American Airlines, you then get a 5,000 point bonus, which no other, you know, you can't do that with Chase. You can't do that with American Express membership points. So, I mean, that makes them very valuable there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we know you like the SPG cards. What other cards do you like and why?
Another card I really like, not so much for the points but for the perks, is the Citi Prestige. This is another one that carries a somewhat hefty fee at $450 a year. However, a few of the perks are the first $250 you spend on any air travel is reimbursed as a statement credit. So assuming you fly at least once a year, that's covered. You get American Airlines lounge access whenever flying American. And the huge benefit is that it's when you book any hotel through their concierge, regardless where it is, the fourth night's free. And you can double dip, say, like, you know, AAA discounts, things like that, and really get major value if you have a lot of hotel stays that you actually pay for that are at least four nights long.
Now, you mentioned both Chase Sapphire and Chase Inc. earlier. Why are they as good as, say, Citi Prestige or the SPG card?
Well, the Sapphire is great in that it has a relatively low annual fee. I believe it's $89 a year. And the bonus categories are travel and dining. So, and they're pretty loose. There's pretty loose restrictions on that. So anytime you go out to eat, travel, you're getting, you know, 2x points, which, again, as we mentioned earlier, have a lot of transfer abilities. And there's no cap on these. As for the Ink card, very similar. However, you get 5x points at office supply and I believe internet and phone. And, you know, Staples is my second home at times because they sell gift cards. You know, and I happen to live about a mile from a Staples, so that comes in handy. And it also works on staples.com, which makes it even easier. But, yeah, the 5x points there makes it, I mean, incredibly valuable.
If you live in Los Angeles and are a sports fan, can you go to the Staples Center and get 5X?
don't know. It's worth a shot.
Bad
I suppose.
Joke.
Yeah, when I was at the I went to that Frequent Travelers University, which was a weekend, you know, about all this stuff. The speaker there that I was listening to said his number one card is the Chase Inc. And he thought that, you know, anybody getting into it, that should be the first card they apply for.
Yeah, and, I mean, it really is with, like, the 5X on the office supplies. It just makes it huge because I really have no other reason to shop at Staples, but I have a ton of Staples gift cards through some of these promotions. And the fact that you can just go to staples.com and buy gift cards makes it to where, I mean, you can easily churn with, you know, hardly having to really actually go anywhere.
Are there any tax implications to these points and airline miles stuff that you're earning?
Actually, it's interesting. The IRS does not consider points to like as income. They consider them to have no value. So from like an earning point, that's great. So you're not going to have the IRS knocking at your door, you know, or, you know, Chase is sending you a 1099 at the end of the year saying, we gave you $20,000 worth of points. On the flip side, though, if you're trying to use points for business, you can't try to deduct the fair market value of, say, a flight you booked with points. I had a guy ask me once if he could, you know, he saw a flight that was, I think, $2,000 to Europe, and he was using points instead and wanted to know if he could take that $2,000 and deduct it. And the answer is no. So on that end, it's, you know.
Yeah, actually, that's a really important point, because I was sort of thinking that that I should not use points for business travel, because then I don't get to write it off, right? But I could use, if I wanted to take my wife with me, I could pay for my flight and use the points to get my wife's flight. Oh, also, if you buy the flight with points, do you get points for the flight?
Generally, no. There's like one exception. Like if you were to say, well, the short answer is no, and I can elaborate on the long answer shortly.
Okay.
Yeah, but so do you agree with me then about paying for my flight and if it's a business trip?
Absolutely. I would say, you know, either save your points for, you know, leisure travel that you otherwise can't write off, or, I mean, alternatively, you could use your points to upgrade your paid flight, or, yeah, you just, like, bring your spouse with you and use miles for that. I think it's a great method of using them.
Yeah.
Are dining clubs at all related to what it is that you do here?
A little bit. I know, like, American Airlines has a dining club, and this is pretty simple in that you sign up on their website, attach a, you know, a card, which in my case would be the Chase Sapphire, and then at certain small restaurants, when you're, you know, paying there anyway, you get bonus miles for doing absolutely nothing additional. I know there's like a small pizza place by us where you get like 7x miles, you know, eating there. So that combined with the miles you're earning on the Sapphire really adds up to be a great value for little effort.
Yeah, I have the disadvantage that I live in Las Vegas and I play on a video poker, so I get all these meals for free, so I basically never pay for food. So I could not take advantage of this. This sounds terrible.
Well, you do travel occasionally, right? So
I do.
Of course, you're usually going to a casino where it's all comped anyway, so I guess that doesn't help.
All right.
Go ahead.
Sign-up bonuses. I've heard in general a lot of these cards have sign-up bonuses. Players sign up for it, get the bonuses, and then get rid of the cards and try to get new cards and stuff like that. Is that part of how you play the game?
Yeah. And first, I like the fact that you said players and not people. However, so I usually don't do like the quick burn and churn, churn and burn. I will usually sign up for a card and then keep it. For example, I know as we were mentioning, the Sapphire and the Ink both have very generous sign-up bonuses, like Richard said earlier with his American Express Target offer. However, usually with a lot of those cards, even after the bonus period, the points themselves are still very valuable and relatively easy to earn through everyday spending and churning. So I like to actually keep cards unless the annual fee is more than what the value is to me.
Okay. Yeah, my understanding is that it's really no longer necessary to close accounts. You know, in the old days, I think if you had too many open accounts, it was bad. But now I think my understanding is that closing them may be worse. You're better off just keeping them.
Yeah, like initially, I mean, it's counterintuitive, but initially, I mean, when you apply for these cards, your credit score is going to take a pretty major hit. However, after a few months of, you know, paying these cards on time, generating a balance, your credit score will actually improve, you know, most of the time than where it was when you began.
Now, Richard mentioned briefly earlier that you might have a business card of a certain kind and an individual card of a certain kind. So would it not make sense to get the bonus on the individual, and then when you have gotten that bonus, then sign up for the business, getting rid of the individual, having all the benefits on the business until you're allowed to sign up again on the individual, get those sign-up benefits over again, blah, blah, blah. So if you have two cards, wouldn't it be better to churn, or is there a downside to that?
No, and actually, I did exactly that with the American Express Platinum. I first got the personal, which was $450 a year. I, you know, got the bonus, eventually canceled that. However, first I got the business American Express Platinum, which similar benefits, same annual fee, you know, kept, however I keep though, keep that, because with American Express specifically on those two cards, you're only eligible for the sign-up bonus once in a lifetime. I believe they rolled that out a couple of years ago. Now, I've heard of people with like Chase cards, you know, sign up, get the bonus, cancel, wait so many months and re-sign up. However, you know, just like casinos, credit card companies are becoming hip to that and taking, you know, measures to stop people from doing that as much.
Yeah, I think that's part of where the 524 came from with Chase, was people were doing that. So that was their method of stopping it. As of, you know, a month ago or whenever, when I was at the Frequent Traveler University, they did say that Bank of America, you can still do that. Like, you know, every few months, they have one card with a $100 bonus and another with a $200 bonus. And, yeah, you can sign up, you know, get the bonuses, cancel them 2 months later, sign up again. That's currently still working.
Another interesting thing with Bank of America is if you were to apply for multiple Bank of America cards in the same day, it only pulls your credit once. So if you plan it strategically, you can actually, you know, save the number of, you know, hits on your credit score by applying for multiple cards in the same day.
I don't understand how applying for a credit card hits your credit score.
Every time you apply, they do what's called a hard inquiry. That's basically showing that you applied for credit, and I think the credit bureaus see it as a negative thing, to where if you've applied for too much credit within a certain amount of time, that in turn lowers your credit score. I think the reasoning behind it being that you're overextending yourself, there's really no logical reason for it, but I can see it's just one of those things that is the way it is.
So we're talking to Joseph Kerr about credit cards. I'm going to take a brief break for commercials, and when we get back, we're going to ask Joseph. Apparently in May of this year, he and a girlfriend took a trip to Mexico somewhere and used all these things in practice, and he took from here and took from there, but he put it here and those kind of things. So kind of it's a summary of how it all works in the real world on real trips. So we'll hear from Joseph soon about that. South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else has. Now, we're actually not taping the show live, but a few days early, and as of now, I do not know the promotions for South Point in June. Next week, we're going to be talking to Jeffrey Compton, and I will have a better idea of what the South Point is offering. At the Palms, from now until June 25th, they have drawings every Saturday night, 7:15, must be present to win. 20 winners share $10,000 each night. Every day, Monday through Friday, you can swipe to win 20 free drawing tickets. Every day from Monday, May 30th to Friday, June 3rd, you swipe to receive a mystery multiplier. For video poker players, that is 2x or 3x. Slot players get up to 10x. There's a limit of 80,000 bonus points per day. So what that means is if you get a 2x multiplier, you can play 80,000 points and get them all multiplied. If you get a 3x multiplier, you can play 40,000 points and get them all multiplied. For some reason, that arithmetic is tough on some people. PFP, play for prizes, Monday through Friday, June 6th through June 17th, you earn Albertsons gift cards. Albertsons is a supermarket. From June 20th to July 1st, you earn free play. The cards and free play redeemed at a rate of 0.2% for video poker, up to $190 per day. You keep the points. In June, every Sunday, and on Tuesday, June 7th and June 21st, you earn double points on video poker, 10x points reels and video reel. For these multipliers, there are no limits. On the two Tuesday multiplier days, you also receive Albertsons gift card on the first one and free slot, free play on the second one. Wednesday's 500 points earns you free car wash. Thursday, same number of points, gets you a movie ticket. VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, which is $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get corrections on most of the games. Beginning this week, VideoPoker.com has instituted a number of changes to the site based on member feedback. This includes much easier site navigation, the ability to log on with Facebook, and the ability to continue games previously interrupted. There's also a slew of new features exclusively for Gold members. We'll talk about more about them next week. All right, we're talking to Joseph Kerr on credit cards and how to use them intelligently. Apparently, he and his girlfriend took a trip to Mexico in May and put all this in action. What did you do, Joseph, and why?
Okay, so earlier in May, we decided we wanted to take a last-minute trip somewhere in the Caribbean, and we were looking at St. Martin. Weather was pretty poor, looked at a few other places, and settled on an all-inclusive in Cozumel. I pulled up the British Airways app.
Now, wait, I have to stop you, because when you emailed us, you said your one requirement is that we went to a place that didn't have casinos. Sacrilege.
True.
Sacrilege.
That's right, yeah. So the last thing I wanted to see was a video poker machine, a table. So, I mean, this is, you know, a good reason. There's no way I could write this trip off. So, I, you know, just purely for leisure. I wanted to sit, drink, eat, and do nothing. So, yeah, we settled on Cozumel. First, I started looking at flights. So last-minute flights out of Miami, the going rate round trip was about $1,500 for coach, not what I wanted to pay. So I then looked to see how many American miles it would be. Total round trip was 60,000 miles. So I then looked at the exact same flights using British Airways with Avios, and that was 30,000 round trip. And about $150 in taxes. So I transferred the points from my, you know, Ultimate Rewards account through Chase, booked the flights, and then called. I found the resort we wanted to stay at, which I think was for four nights, all inclusive, came to like $2,200. They had a special going on current at the time. I then applied my AAA number to get, I think, another 20% off. And then I called the City Prestige concierge to show, you know, I found everything I wanted, how I wanted to book it, gave her the exact info, talked her through it, and since I did that, the one benefit on the City Prestige, like I mentioned earlier, is fourth night free, which, you know, had a, that gave us a value there of like $550 off. So ultimately this trip that should have cost almost $4,000 out the door ended up costing us $1,700, $1,800 all in.
Now, so, couldn't you have used some kind of points to pay for all of the hotel?
Well, since it's not really part of any chain of, you know, like Hyatt or any of those, if I had used points to pay for the actual hotel, I wouldn't have gotten very good value out of the points.
I see.
Because sometimes there's times where it's like, okay, it's an, I can pay with points, but the value you're getting with the points doesn't really make sense. You're better off just, you know, paying cash for it and saving the points for a better opportunity. No, I was going to say, like, you know, so 5 days on vacation, airfare and all that, under $2,000, I think we made out pretty well.
Uh-huh, and you didn't lose anything in a casino. That's great.
I didn't, no.
Now, Richard, you went to the FTU recently. It's on this same general subject. Are there any big points in that FTU that we haven't really covered today?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think we've talked about all of the same topics. I don't remember anything that, you know, that, I mean, obviously they had, you know, two-hour seminars on individual topics going into much more detail, but it's really all the same kind of stuff. Oh, I just wanted to ask, are there any particular – oh, you mentioned the Starwood. And what hotels are the Starwoods?
Those are typically like Sheraton, like Sheraton brands. So you've got actually, we stayed last night at Disney World at the Dolphin, which happens to be Starwood. But there's a lot of different hotels. Trying to think off the top of my head. Let's see, because I have their website right here.
I remember Cartwright mentioned that Hyatt, there was a card for Hyatt that I think you get two nights anywhere, any Hyatt in the world for signing up for a particular card.
Yeah, I actually don't have the Hyatt card yet. It's one that's probably next on my list. It's just, as of right now, I don't want to overextend myself. However, I think once my credit score rebounds a little bit, that'll probably be, you know, next on my list.
Yeah. By the way, I had to laugh when I was at that FTU. Just like, you know, Advantage players, some people sort of take this thing too far. And
oh, yeah.
There was a guy there, one of the speakers, who was advocating getting cards in the names of your grandparents because they have great credit and, you know, they trust you. And so you can just, you know, get cards in their names and churn credit cards in their names to get yourself, you know, extra points. It reminded me of the old days of internet casinos where you were signing up all your friends and family to have multiple accounts.
Similar to that, too, I read I read some of these blogs on Twitter and things like that, and a guy recently was going into Walmart, I mean, daily, and buying thousands of dollars of money orders to the point where one day, like, the police showed up, and he's basically, you know, taking the approach where I'm going to brag that I'm not doing anything illegal, to the point where he said something about an IRS agent. He's like, yeah, send him. I'll explain it all down to him. I mean, sure, what you're doing is not illegal, but wouldn't you show at least a little discretion? Just,
yeah.
I mean,
yep.
Like, come on.
Yeah, one of the speakers there was churning. He said it's easy to churn $100,000 a month. You know, you can go to Walmart 5 days a week and churn $5,000 a day, you know. And, and of course, some Walmarts have started shutting that down. But, yeah.
Of course, yeah. I mean, if you want to spend your entire life doing that, I guess that's one thing. But I think some of us have better things to do.
Well, and I think you're right. You know, I've mentioned this many times. My favorite quote from my book was Chip Reese saying, just because you're not doing anything wrong doesn't mean you won't have to defend yourself someday.
Exactly. And, you know, one thing I can mention on that point is I know Cartwright mentioned the Bluebird and Serve card, which is a prepaid card offered by American Express, where people would, you know, take gift cards, go to Walmart, load the money from the gift card to the Serve, and then use that account to pay their credit card. Again, American Express started shutting these accounts down. However, there's still a way you can use that by just using the actual Serve or Bluebird to just spend where you'd shop anyway on items you wouldn't get bonus categories for on other cards. And I've been doing that, and my cards have been safe.
Now, I live in a place in Las Vegas that there are at least 4 Walmarts within 5 miles. And if you go to 10 miles, there's another several that I know, and I haven't really looked at Walmart.com to see exactly how many. So you could, at least from where I live, go to a different Walmart every day for 2 weeks and do this, and it would take them much longer to catch on to your game.
Precisely, and I do that to an extent. And I have, just like when, playing in a casino, I have kind of rules that I abide by. I'm not going to use more than 2 gift cards at once. I'm not buying more than 1 money order at once. And I just try to think, what are normal people buying money orders? How do they act? I'm not doing anything fishy. You just go in there, and don't make it to where it's awkward. Just be natural about it and don't overdo it.
Yeah, I apparently these some of the banks will allow you to bring those money orders into the bank and pay toward your credit card bill. So you're literally just charging it for a money order and taking it back to the bank and paying your credit card bill with it.
Yeah, I usually just mail them, which is just as easy. So.
Yeah.
Well, I would insure it, depending on how much it was. So I'm not sure going to the post office and getting them insured is all that much easier. Or maybe you're very trusting.
Well, I mean, you make them out to, it's just like a check. Once you make it out to the company, it's, nobody else can really cash it, and you keep the receipt to where, it doesn't clear in a week or two, you call the number and have it a stop payment, and you can take that route. But I've been lucky so far, knock on wood.
Very good. One of the things that is clear to me is it helps if you have an accountant's personality to keep all these things straight on spreadsheets or whatever you do to make sure how many points you need for this card and when the payment's due. And if you start missing some payments accidentally, you can eat up all the benefits that you're earning. And not everybody has an accountant's personality to do this.
That's, yeah, it definitely takes a lot of – go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's definitely true. Although, as far as missing the payments, you know, I've signed up for a few credit cards in the last few months, and I always sign up to have automatic payments where it's just withdrawn from my checking account automatically. And in two cases, for some reason, it didn't go through. I called them, you know, I saw charges show up as late payment or non-payment or whatever. I called them immediately, and in every single case, they took away the charges. You know, I have not been dinged once for that. I mean, it's not just making the payments. It's figuring out where you have all these different points and then how to best use them. That seems like a whole, you know, complicated thing in and of itself.
Right. And I think, you know, going back, that's why it's good to have a goal, you know, when you start. So you're not earning these points that are going to sit valueless. I made that mistake early on. I had a Spirit credit card, and I eventually had 150,000 Spirit miles evaporate because I had no use for them. So, you know, lesson learned there. Have a goal before you start earning.
Very good. We've been talking to Joseph Kerr on AP credit card use. A lot of good points. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.